It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Legends of the Carolinas. I'm your host, Scott Fowler, sports columnist for the Charlotte Observer, where I've worked since 1994. And as always in this podcast, I'm traveling across the Carolinas, seeking out some of my very favorite sports legends and asking them to tell me some of the stories behind their rise to iconic status. Now, for this episode, we're thrilled to be in Columbia, South Carolina, inside the home of legendary running back George Rogers. George Rogers won the 1980 Heisman Trophy playing for the South Carolina Gamecocks. I just picked up that Heisman Trophy a minute ago at his invitation, and it is way heavier than I thought.
They give the ball to Rogers, trying to sweep to the outside, up to the inside, 15, 10, all the way to the 9-yard line. What a run by Rogers!
After his career at USC, he became the first overall pick of the 1981 NFL draft by the New Orleans Saints. He played for seven seasons in the NFL, and in his final season in 1987, he won a Super Bowl ring with Washington. Now 64 years old, Rogers lives not far from Williams-Brice Stadium, the place where he starred in college for the Gamecocks, and where there's now a 13-foot statue of, you guessed it, George Rogers. George, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, man. Good to hear your voice, man. Well, Shane, I usually hear your voice, but I don't get to see your face.
Yeah, this is wonderful, and we really appreciate you having us into your home here and to tell us some of your stories. We've been talking off air a little bit, and I can't wait for people to hear some of them. Let's start just with growing up in Georgia. What was that like?
I grew up very poor. We was on welfare. I mean, we were just happy to have food anywhere. Peanut butter, jelly sandwich almost all the time, hot dogs, and maybe sometime eventually hamburgers, but not very much. But, you know, we got along and we strived and we got through school. That's what we did in Duluth. It was hard, but we got through it. We got through it. And that's the main thing I remember about going to Duluth is that it wasn't easy, but we made it through it.
Was your mom, was she primarily your caregiver?
My mom was. My dad tried to do as much as he could. You know, they were separated and divorced. And my mom was a hardworking lady. She was a piano player and she played the piano. And I love my mom. Every time she leave the house, I try to follow her everywhere she go. Just sneak up behind her. And then she'd say, boy, I told you not to follow me. I just love my mom.
When did you start playing football and what was that like?
Well, first time I played football, I didn't know how to play. I just went out there because everybody else was out there. And the quarterback got in the huddle and said, he going to pitch the ball right to me. He pitched the ball to me. And I seen all them guys coming toward me. I threw it right back to him. Of course, I got knocked all around and I coming off the field. I was dizzy. I was shaking up a little bit. And then I said, what'd I do wrong? And the coach said, you're supposed to get the ball and go. And then we practiced that next week. And then I got this. I got this. You know, I knew I got the ball and I, you know, started getting it and getting it every time and running. Nobody could catch me. I said, yeah, I got y'all now. And then we did it in the game. And coach wouldn't really put me in the game. You know, he thought I was going to do the same thing again. He didn't put me in. So I started crying. I mean, I was crying, too. I'm talking about, I want to play. And they said, well, won't they let that little boy play? They losing anyway. They ought to let him play. And the coach came over there and put his hand on my mouth. I want to play. Put his hand on my mouth. He said, okay, we're going to put you in. They gave me that ball, boy. I took off running. I went around that end. I was gone. I ran till there was no more grass left. And I turned around and started coming back the other way. And all my teammates, they would come to congratulate me. I started dodging them too. They said, boy, you just scored a touchdown. Down the end zone is right there. They pointed to that little box that, you know, that's in the ground. And I said, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. That's how I learned how to play football.
Oh, my gosh. Man, so, what were you, like 7 or 8 years old then? Or like,
I was about 10 years old. About 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the beginning of
it. That was the beginning of me playing football. And I'm talking about when I went to the game, I mean, from then on, I was the man. I was playing defense and offense. And I used to, the guard didn't have a chance to get me. Didn't even have a chance. I went around him so fast. I was making the tackle, and then they start running double reverses on me. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
And the quarterback, one time I had the quarterback, he said, I ain't got the ball. They were going around the end right there.
That part about you running and not knowing when to stop reminds me of a scene from Forrest Gump. Remember that?
Yeah. Went off through the end zone.
Yeah, he keeps running through the tunnel or whatever.
My teammate, they come down and congratulate me. I thought they were trying to hit me too. I started dodging them too. That's crazy.
You became a standout running back in high school in Georgia. And while the recruiting wasn't what it was now, like, it wasn't that people didn't understand it as well. You were super highly touted, could have probably gone anywhere. So where did your family want you to go?
They wanted me to go to Tennessee. And I just was like, man, that orange, I just can't see myself in no orange equipment. I just can't see it.
That ruled out Clemson too, I guess.
I did visit Clemson, but I just didn't, the atmosphere wasn't there. And South Carolina had two running backs leaving at the same time. And the position was open. Coach Carlin told me, he said, son, you come to South Carolina, you can start your freshman year. Nobody told me that. He told me that. And I was looking at him dead in the eyes, too. I was looking at him. I got you. And I said, okay, I'm coming to South Carolina. Because my mama then was like, oh, no, that's not going to happen.
They weren't real hot on the idea.
Why did they
want you to go to Tennessee?
Well, Tennessee was where my aunt, who I was living with at the time, was a maid. And she worked for some people that was Tennessee fans.
He wanted to come stay with me, and I told him I'd be glad to have him. But he wasn't going to school one day and play hooky the other four. So he believed me because I whipped him when he was little, and he knew I'd do it again.
They wanted me to go to Tennessee so bad, and I told him, I said, if y'all think I'm going to Tennessee, that ain't gonna happen. At the end of the day, you know,
when it was all over.
But
no Georgia though. I mean, Georgia powerhouse. No,
too close to Duluth. I mean, if it's 45 minutes, it's too far. And I wasn't going to stay at home because I knew if I stayed at home, that's where I was going to be going, home all the time.
Following your mom.
Yeah, following my mom, staying right up in there, staying right back where she at.
Right.
Protecting her and whatever I had to do, but I didn't want to stay in Georgia. Not at all.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You had a remarkable career here in Columbia. When did you realize that you weren't only a decent college football player, but that you could be a star?
I never did think I was a star or anything. I think the people around me made me look good. So I'm not the guy to say I did this and I did that or I just never have. My mom, kept me grounded. Said, hey, you got other people out there helping you, so don't forget about them. And I never did forget about them because ain't no need to be arrogant about it because you're going to have to do it again. So take your time and be sure, make sure that you're doing all the right things.
He was alternate starter, and when he got a chance to be the best player at the position, he didn't want to move ahead of the player in front of him because he didn't want to hurt the player in front of his feelings. I mean, I had a hard time saying, George, you've graded better, you're playing better, you've got to move up. That's the way the system works. And he said, Coach, I'd just rather not because I don't want to hurt his feelings. That's George Rogers.
One of the really great examples of that, of humility and you praising your teammates, which I know you've always done, is your statue at Williams-Brice Stadium here has a remembrance of all your teammates there. Tell us a little about that.
Oh, man, I can't forget all of them. I mean, those guys, man, I always remember them, and they will always remember some of the things I've done.
Dr. Pastides, George, if I could get you to flank this statue. I'm going to need some help from all of our great Gamecocks out there with a countdown. You guys ready? We will start at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, and so the statue, for those who haven't seen it, has all of their names listed on the pedestal as well as yourself. And in the statue, you're not running the ball. You're more like watching it in a way, right? You picked that pose?
Oh, man, yes, I did. I was standing up on the bench watching those other guys, seeing how good they were playing out there, you know. I wanted to see who was coming up next, and I wanted to see that team.
I grew up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I know I've mentioned to you off air. Went to Dorman High School, just a couple of years behind you. And so I had some friends who were South Carolina fans. So I went down and saw you play. I saw you play while I was in high school a couple of times. Both games, you had more than 200 yards. And I just remember number 38. I mean, that was the offense. Pitch right, George Rogers. Pitch left, George Rogers. It seemed always to me that you were just taking an incredible beating out there, but did it feel that way? Running backs get hit so much.
Not all the time. Yeah. But, you know, right. At the end of the game, there are a few blows that, you know, you felt, but I wasn't in that fight by myself. Right. They was in there with me, man. And I just appreciate all the things that my teammates did, man. They made me look good. And that's what it's all about, man, is winning. And I wanted to win so bad. Did not want to lose, especially if you was at home. I didn't want to lose at home. No.
You won a lot of games, and that was when South Carolina really wasn't winning a lot of games. So that started it. I think you won 8 games a couple of times.
You're right.
Do you have a favorite team win that you know? I know y'all won at Michigan, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You beat Clemson at least a time. But what was your – any memories of that?
I think the Michigan game, you mentioned it, at Michigan.
They give the ball to Rogers, trying to sweep from the outside, up to the inside 15, 10, all the way to the 9-yard line. What a run by Rogers.
103,000? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's remarkable, like, man.
I was like, man, really? Did we really? You couldn't have told me we was coming there to win. I mean, I was thinking, you know, hey, we're just gonna go up here and play our best. We didn't think we was gonna win. I didn't think we was gonna win, but we played good and we actually won the game.
At the big house, as they
the big
they,
house. Yeah. That's right, man. We say, oh, we got the big house now.
I know, like in your senior season, you've mentioned before, but you were somewhat haunted by you fumbled again in a critical game against Georgia, right?
Oh, man, I was sick. I was sick when that happened. I mean, I actually was really, really sick. I couldn't believe that I fumbled again. Again, at Georgia.
Yeah, they had Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. Man, you talking about somebody. Once he got out there, you can forget it.
We hand it off to Herschel. There's a hole. 5, 10, 12. He's running over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker. My God almighty, he ran right through 2 men. Herschel ran right over 2 men. They had him dead away inside the 9. Herschel Walker went 16 yards. He drove right over Orange Church, just driving and running with those big thighs. My God, a freshman.
We became good friends after that game.
Did you?
Yeah. I got a chance to be around him and know him a little bit, and just a great guy.
You beat him for the Heisman Trophy in 1980. He was third.
He was a freshman.
He got his chance later.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was saying too. Plus, he missed two or three games at the beginning. Mm. So, you know, but, you know, Herschel Walker, he's the best run. Bo Jackson was a good running back too. So him and Bo are right there together. And then I might be, you know, kissing cousins, something like that, you know. But.
Hold on to the football. They give it to Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson. Marker on the play as Jackson is hit by Sanchez at the Georgia 41-yard line.
Wow, there were some incredible.
They had speed.
Mm-hmm. Speed and power. But that was your game, too.
Not like they had.
Yeah.
They had
you wouldn't beat either one in a race.
No, yeah. They had their world-class speed. Mm-hmm. Now, 40 yards, you got a fight on that one. Mm-hmm. They might have a fight at 40 yards, but you talking about somebody can blow it on up the field. Now, now that's Herschel and him.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back.
You were drafted number one overall by the New Orleans Saints. Number one overall. Lawrence Taylor was number two. And a bunch of other really good players behind you. Just kind of shows how well valued you were. Tell us a little bit about your pro career and what you remember from. But let's start with the Saints days. Tell me about the Saints.
Wow. Well, first I got there, I didn't make the mile and a half. You know, you had to run a mile and a half. I didn't make the mile and a half. And Baum said, well, if we got to give it to him a mile and a half, we just won't give it to him.
So, Baum Phillips was the coach.
And then I got better as time going. I stayed out to practice and ran a little bit more and got in shape a little bit. And then as I got in shape a little bit better and a little bit better.
He picked up 4 yards. Didn't look like it, did it? That's growth in motion. Wilson with the quick draw. Rodgers was a tremendous cut. Rodgers runs over people. He's still on his feet. Rodgers being chased. The 30, 20. George Rodgers went coast to coast.
Well, you played pretty good. You led the entire NFL as a rookie in yardage, in rushing yardage. And they had Archie Manning that year as quarterback.
Yeah, Archie Manning.
And
I guarantee you, he called a play at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. All of them. Mm-hmm. All of them. And I was like, Archie, when are you going to throw a pass? I mean, you going to throw a pass sometime today?
He started getting sacked.
Man. And I was like, whoa.
Heavy load. Yeah, you really did.
I was running.
And the Saints weren't very good in those years, right?
I wouldn't say we wasn't very good. Now we had a good defense. We just wasn't that good on offense.
Huh. Yeah. And so then Washington was where you played for Joe Gibbs, won a Super Bowl, led the league in rushing touchdowns one time, 18 rushing touchdowns in a year. That would be a fantasy football juggernaut these days. You would have been a big time fantasy football player.
Now watch Rodgers on the counter. He breaks through there, breaks one tackle. Now there's no one else to make the tackle until he gets about 40 yards.
Well, what were the Washington years like for you?
Oh, well, I enjoyed them. I kind of backfired on myself in that. I won't tell you why, but, you know, it was kind of a thing where I got put on second team and got mentioned that I was starting in the Super Bowl, and Tim went in and had a great game. I mean, what can I do? We won. I mean, and then, you know, I knew it was time for me to go ahead and cut my tires. You know, I ain't got no more gas. Ain't no more gas in the tank.
You're only 29 years old when you retired.
I know it, but golly, I mean, what year? What do it take to retire? I mean, I've been running football ever since I was in high school, ever since I was in college, the next 7 years. So, count them years I played in high school, count them years I played in college, and count them years I played in pro, getting hit with the best people out there. You ain't got much time left. Please believe me.
Big gamble on fourth down.
Oh, it's not a big gamble, is it?
Snap, hand to Rodgers, right side, breaks it back inside. He's gone! It's going to be a touchdown. George Rodgers, touchdown, Washington Redskins.
All right, he went out of the I formation. He did not
you're right. And, I mean, we see that more often these days. So Luke Kuechly for the Panthers retired at age 28. He was a year younger than you were. Yeah. But at the time, it was unusual, though.
Yeah, you but they hit now, and then they wear a little bit of nothing. You know, they don't even wear thigh pads no more, knee pads, none. Man, I wore everything I could get my hands on. Give me all my equipment, at least that.
Yeah. The I'm sure as a running back taking that heavy load for more than a dozen years, including college and high school, you must have gotten some concussions.
Oh, man, plenty of them.
Yeah.
I got hit one time, and both me and the guy
flew. Really?
Yeah.
Both
at the same time.
We both helmet. Helmet. Yeah.
You know, and was knocked out on the field and had to go out there and put the little smelling salts in your nose and stuff. Oh man, but you know, once you get knocked out though, and you know, get you woke up on the while you out there, and then you think you can just go on back in, it ain't like that now. They had to tell me though, because I was like, I'm ready to go. I was like, oh, I'm ready now. I'm like, hey, I'm ready to go. Coach said, no, son, you need to sit out for a minute. But
there was no concussion protocol.
No, you're not right. Like that.
Like it is now.
No. You get knocked out now, you're going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least a week. A lot of times, two or three.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
NFL, you're going to – that ain't no joke, though,
mm-hmm. So, George, we were talking about your NFL career, and before we get into a couple of other things, tell me now, what does George Rogers do on an average day or week at age 64? And, you know, who do you share this lovely house with and so on?
Oh, man, I'm married to Brenda. She's my love of my life now. She's just my everything. She does everything for me. She's always around helping me out, you know, and making sure I'm eating and stuff like that. So, of course, you can look at me and tell I ain't malnourished, though. I eat all the food I can eat, but she's the one that helped me get around and, you know, do the things that I want to do.
She set up our appointment today. Very organized.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no question about it. She is, and have me ready and tell me, you got to do this and you got to do
that. Hey, we all need that.
I'm getting it.
How is your health these days? Do you hurt every time you get up in the morning?
Actually, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. My blood pressure is good. I need to lose some weight, and of course, it don't help by eating. But I like to eat too. Golly, man! I mean, you know, I'm used to eating, you know, hot dogs, hamburgers. You know, I had a lot of them growing up. I mean, I still ain't got over it. I can't get over them, but, you know, Brenda tried to make sure I eat vegetables and, you know, stuff, squash, you know, stuff that you don't like. I mean, I'm looking at her like,
right.
Really?
Yeah.
but she's trying to keep me healthy.
Like walking around and, I mean, are you, I know some guys.
No, I'm not a bit. I do go to the gym, though. I do go to the gym, and I got a what you call him, a coach.
Like a personal trainer?
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
He been doing two or three times a week. That's what I do. Lift weights and got a guy, another guy that worked right with me, that, you know, so it won't be boring. You know, you're doing it all by yourself and somebody else.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Tell me a little bit, I know you've been public about this before, but I know you had some drug issues, and how did that come close to wrecking your life or ending your life?
It did. Back in the day, I was just trying to act out, you know. I was feeling bad, feeling sorry for myself, and you know, and can't nobody tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do. It's my life. You know, just acting out. You know, I knew I was in the wrong. I wouldn't want nobody to be in the situation I was in. I mean, you know, you just thinking about yourself. You ain't thinking about nobody else. You just thinking about yourself, being yourself. And I was dead wrong because, you know, I got kids and I would love to be around. I mean, I am being around them now because I made a choice between doing drugs or loving God. So I chose God.
And when did, or how did you do that? Like, how did you kick, I think it was cocaine in your case.
Yeah, well, not only, wasn't just cocaine, it was marijuana and, you know, drinking alcohol and it was, hey, it's a number of
you sampled everything.
Right. Yeah. I had my feet in all the dust. but you know what? There comes a time in your life when you say, I ain't going to do nothing. I ain't going to do anything that'll hurt my body again. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came to close that. Is that I'm not going to be around that anymore. I'm not going that way no more. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm through. And it came sooner than I thought it would.
Hmm. Were you able to kick it yourself, or did you go to rehab?
Didn't go to no rehab. Can't no rehab tell you what to do, because you're going to be up to you at the end of the day. You're going to have to do it. Right. And that's what the rehab person told me. Said, George, it's a decision that you got to make. And I made it. I'm not going back that way no more. And it ain't easy now. Don't think you ain't going to think about it.
Right, I'm
but
sure.
But it's been, you know, it's enough time now. I say about 4 years now. So I ain't, no, you know, I don't drink. I might, a little sip. But other than that, nothing else ever again. Never.
Really? Hmm. Was there a certain moment in your life that you were, I don't know, hit rock bottom or something that made you say never again?
Well, I had another child. And that made me think about where I was at, you know, because all the rest of my kids was grown. And Thomas, our youngest boy, me and my wife now have, he's a junior at South Carolina and smart as all that dough.
Really?
4.0.
Yeah. Whoa.
Congrats.
Is that you?
Yeah. Guess who he's working with, too? Guess who he's working with?
I don't know.
Nancy Pelosi.
Seriously.
That's what I said. I said, boy, you really shadows now, boy. Nancy Pelosi, you get out and ride her right now.
Wow, that's big time. That is big time.
He's a good kid, though, man. He really is. He's a good kid.
And so that sort of having a child that later in life.
Gave me the strength to stay away from everybody and everything. That gave me more strength. I mean, I had already done it, but having him growing up, going to high school and stuff like that made a big difference.
Dude, any of your children play football? Did they play?
I had one. Remember, he was All-American. Trey, he was All-American. That's right. Yeah. And everything. You know, I told him, you'd never be good as your daddy, boy. you know, if you don't want to play, you ain't got to play. And they end up, he had a thing in his back. He could be paralyzed. If he got hit the wrong way, he could get paralyzed. So he had quit. He filled out his scholarship by being equipment manager.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And help, you know, when they go away games, they take him and do whatever they want to do. But he did good. He graduated and got his degree.
That's great. And you did too, right?
I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I went back to get mine.
You went back to get it.
He got his all in one. Yeah.
And I know you've helped other first generation college students like you were, right?
No question. No question. How did you
tell me about a little bit about your foundation.
My foundation was about maybe 27 years ago. I've been giving out scholarships to needy students that want to get that education, and not athletes, just the students that going to school and need to get the money. And I give out a $10,000 scholarship and a $5,000 scholarship.
That's awesome. Now, do you go to all the Gamecocks home games, and do you work? You work the home games. Tell me about your game day routine these days.
What? You don't want that. You don't want that routine. Boy, I tell you what, they be wanting to take pictures, and they want you to sign autograph too. So I have me a line over here with just pictures. Then I have a line over here with just autographs. I'm looking at them like, are y'all kidding me for real?
And this is in front of the statue?
They're in front of the statue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they do it. I said, all right, if that's what y'all want, then that's what y'all going to get.
That's what happens when you become a legend.
I know, but I ain't trying to say I'm no legend, but can you just get one line? Can you just get one line? And then, because you know why you can't, because if you get one line, it's going to be all the way around, all the way down there, and then they're going to be wanting to sign. You got to sign, and then you take a picture. Sign, take picture. Sign. No, I wouldn't. I was like, no, don't do me like that. Have a different line. And when I get through with that line that's taking pictures, then let's get the signing line. And then, you know, they come up and then, you know, I'd be taking pictures. I can do it like that now. That's a lot different.
We did one of these sports legends interviews with Danny Ford, Clemson's coach, a former. And I know you and he have become buddies,
oh,
right?
Oh, man, we buddies, man. Yeah.
You could have played for him.
If it had
worked out differently.
Right.
Yeah. He would have had to get in the job earlier.
Him and Dabo, I played for either one of them.
You like Dabo as well.
I like Dabo as well, man. He's a great coach too, man. I mean, them guys ain't playing with him because he ain't no good. Right. They got to like him to play for him.
Yeah. But Danny, while I was thinking about what you mentioned, he goes back home. He goes to tailgate before game, but he comes back home because he wants to watch the game. Is that what you do also?
That's exactly what I do. I go to the game, take them pictures, and sign and do whatever I'm supposed to do, get in my car, and come flying back.
How far do you live from the stadium? How far is
this? It's probably about 30 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you drive on George Rogers Boulevard?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah.
Is it weird to see a statue of yourself or have a road named for yourself?
I think it is. Yeah. I really do. I think it is.
I mean, not in a bad way. I just feel like you're still alive.
I got you on that. You're right. This is something you're supposed to have when you ain't around. I see. Really? And then I look at the statue and I say, really? But, you know, it just shows how much the university poured in and my teammates, you know, and I, we delivered.
It's a tribute. Yeah. Well, and if you go on, for instance, Auburn's campus, there's three statues of all three of their Heisman Trophy winners. Bo Jackson and Cam's statue is there and Pat Sullivan, I think. How do you like the NFL game today? What do you watch NFL?
I don't like because they don't wear no pads.
You don't like the guys? Yeah.
Like the receivers. Oh, yeah. And the running backs.
They're always shaving them down. Yeah. Seriously. They do.
I know it. Mm-hmm. But that's the easiest way to get hurt. Because that helmet ain't going to move when it hits you on that leg. And you can very easily get a big bruise, you know, that's where you get the bruise at right here when they hit you on your leg and you ain't got no pads. What kind of man, who does that?
But the type of injuries you can't see are maybe the most dangerous. Do you ever worry about CTE for yourself? Do you have memory issues or?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Running backs gonna have them. You might as well just forget about that. You're going to have them maybe not at an early age, but as an older age, you're going to have them. Because, I have to ask my wife sometimes, where we going? We be in the car, and I be driving. Now, what we say we were going? Yeah. I'd be like, what is going? She'd be like, what is going on with you? He's like, I forgot where I was going.
I talked to one former Panther who would go to Lowe's or something, forget where his car was, or home.
I have forgot my car too. I forgot where I parked my car.
Yeah, I guess that's but happened
then,
to a lot.
That right there, but then I'll eventually, but see, I got the key though too, though. Oh, so you mash that thing right there, bump, 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 you go find
right.
it. See?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lifesaver. Well, last thing, George, I know you speak to young people sometimes, and of course you've had children of your own. I just wonder if you'd like to offer any advice and what you tell young people these days, inspirationally or what sort of message you'd like to leave them.
Be careful who you talk to and be careful with what you do because you are accountable for yourself. Nobody else is. So you do what you're supposed to do and listen to your coaches and listen to your teachers, because they're the ones going to get you through this school. And you got to listen. Listen first, talk later.
George, I can't thank you enough for being on our show today.
Well, I tell you what, man, you the hit. You the one you make the question, I give the answer.
It's been a great pleasure. I'm Scott Fowler, that's George Rogers, and this is Sports Legends of the Carolinas. Thanks so much for listening and supporting local journalism. Find more on these interviews, including special video features, at charlotteobserver.com/sportslegends. And pre-order the Sports Legends of the Carolinas book at sportslegendsbook.com. And if you like what we're doing out here, please consider a digital subscription to the Charlotte Observer. Sports Legends of the Carolinas is a product of the Charlotte Observer. It's hosted by me, Scott Fowler, and produced by Lume Alisali and Jeff Siner. The executive producer of the Sports Legends franchise is Cotta Stevens. The sports editor of the Charlotte Observer is Lydia Craver, and our executive editor is Raina Cash. And McClatchy Audio's interns are Zoe Williams and Christina Silvestri. See you next time.